Standalone sermon today, entitled The Life of a Great Sinner, Luke chapter 19, 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Some translations say, "He has gone to be the guest of a great sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Thank you, Lord. Lord, would you seek us today? Would you save us today? Help us to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My mentor told me this story that I'm going to tell you today. A mentor pastor named Brian Zahn. I've enjoyed it, and I've been wanting to tell it for a long time, and this is the day. I'm breaking the story down in the four parts. The 4 points in your bulletin will be the 4 parts. But mainly, it's just the story of Zacchaeus. This is a made-up story. We don't know that this happened to Zacchaeus, but we do know a lot about first-century tax collectors. First century Jericho. So it is very possible that the things I'm going to tell you today did happen to Zacchaeus. And I hope you like the story, and if you don't like the story at the end, say, "I don't know about all that," I appreciate your grace. Number one, don't call me short. What do you know about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. Some of you grew up singing that song in children's church. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. So he was a wee little man, we think, and he is a tax collector, a chief tax collector. A tax collector is a pencil-pushing bureaucrat. But to describe Zacchaeus as a wee little man and as a pencil-pushing bureaucrat is misleading. He is more than that. I would say he's definitely more than a pencil-pushing bureaucrat. He would be more like a mob boss with a lot of muscle. He was 5'5", but don't call me short. You see, because Rome, he was collecting taxes for Rome. Rome did not need wee little men to collect their taxes. They did not need bureaucrats to collect their taxes. What they needed was muscle to strong arm the people into giving over their taxes. He was a chief tax collector, which means he had others working for him. He had his mob crew. See, well, how it would work is a tax collector would bid on contracts from Rome. And they would say, "I can bring in this much taxes from a region, from a district." And the highest bidder would get the contract. And once you got the contract, you better produce or Rome would not be happy. And you did not like it when Rome was not happy. So a chief tax collector had to put the most pressure on the people, had to squeeze them to get them to pay their taxes. Tax collecting was extortion. It was a collection racket. They are not like modern-day IRS agents. They are more like modern-day mob bosses. And they worked for the hated Roman occupiers. So every good and devout Jewish person would hate tax collectors, especially the chief tax collectors, and would call them great sinners. And Zacchaeus was fine with that if you called him a great sinner and an extortioner. Just don't call me short. Number two, Zacchaeus was born pure and innocent. Zacchaeus was born pure and innocent. That's what his name means. Zacchaeus means pure and innocent. If you look up Zacchaeus in the big book of baby names, it says pure and innocent. So that's how he was born. But he did not remain that way. He was born in Jericho, about the 17th year of the reign of Herod the Great, the king of the Jews. Born to a poor family. I'm telling you a story now. His mother and his father and his brothers and his sisters, they worked for farmers, for tenant farmers. They were day laborers, and they would work for wealthy landowners on their farms around Jericho. His family was devout Jewish people. They went to synagogue often. They were kosher. And Zacchaeus, as a boy, he liked to go to synagogue. He liked the stories. He liked Jonah and the whale and Noah and the ark and David and Goliath. And he learned how to be a good Jewish young man at a very young age. As he grew, when he became a teenager, he got his first job harvesting dates for a wealthy farmer. And he got this job, and I don't know if you know anything about harvesting dates, but to harvest dates, you actually have to climb the tree and get up in the tree because they bunch inside the tree. So he had to learn how to climb trees as a teenager to harvest those dates. And he got good at it. He could just shimmy up that tree. He was kind of small, you know, so he could get in there and snug between those branches, and he was the best at the job. But as good as he was at harvesting dates, he just earned pennies, did not make much, it did not pay much. So his family was poor, and he had a job not making much money, so he did not have the best things, and he was poorly dressed, and it made him a target for the local bullies in the town. But Zacchaeus fought back. He wasn't very tall, but he was stocky. He was built like a bull. He was climbing those trees and harvesting those dates. He had become as strong as a bull. He even got the nickname Zac the Bull. So he started fighting back against those bullies, and those bullies soon learned to leave Zacchaeus, Zac the Bull, alone. Around the time he was 17, one of the tax collectors saw Zacchaeus and saw what kind of teenager he was, and he offered him a job. How would you like to come and work for me? I got a job for you. And Zacchaeus says, I have a job. He said, how would you like a job making more money? Zacchaeus said, I'm listening. What do I have to do? Well, you don't have to do too much. You just need to be there with me when I go out and collect taxes. And I think when people see you as stocky as you are and as rough as you are and your reputation's getting out, I think that'll be enough. But if they refuse to pay their taxes, I would like you to help persuade them, if you would. Zacchaeus thought, why not? I need the money. Tired of being poor. So he thought he would give it a try. And he found out he was pretty good at that. And he found out he could collect more money in a day than he could in a week, sometimes even in a month, picking those dates, climbing those date trees. So he enjoyed the job, he enjoyed the money. When he turned 21 years of age, the tax collector, he had gotten so good, the tax collector put him in charge of the south side of Jericho collecting taxes. Now he was collecting taxes on his own now. And when you collect taxes on your own, you have engagements with Roman soldiers, because you have to take the money to them and they take the taxes back to Rome. So he started talking to these Roman soldiers, these Gentile soldiers, and he learned he got along with them all right. They acted a lot better than them, you know, stuffy synagogue people that he knew. So he got along with them. He tried to still be devout. He still went to synagogue from time to time. He still liked to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year for the festivals. He still was kind of kosher. And he still liked to say his prayers. He liked to do that. At the age of 25, in the year 5 AD, Zacchaeus was paid a visit at his home by a man named Simon. Simon was the president of the synagogue Zacchaeus attended. Simon was a member of the Pharisee party. And the Pharisees were a political party. They were keeping Israel morally pure. They were taking Israel back for God. And Simon the Pharisee came to Zacchaeus' home with 2 other elders, and he got right down to business, and he told Zacchaeus, you are no longer welcome at the synagogue. You are excommunicated from the synagogue. Zacchaeus said, why? He said, don't play dumb. You know why. You're working with the Romans. We see you talking to these Roman Gentile soldiers. You're beginning to use more strong-arm tactics to collect these taxes. So for us, you are no longer welcome because you are unclean. Do not come back to synagogue for worship. That night after Simon and the elders had left, Zacchaeus was mad. So he got out his tallit, his prayer shawl that he wore over his head when he prayed, and he took it, and he was strong. He ripped it, ripped that prayer shawl, and he threw it in his fireplace. He said, if God's done with me, then I'm done with him. Number 3. The pure and innocent becomes a great sinner. The pure and innocent becomes a great sinner. By this time, Zacchaeus was getting good at being above people. Remember, Zacchaeus is a climber. And now he's using his climbing ability to get ahead in life, to get everything he had always wanted, and now he doesn't mind stepping on people's necks to climb where he wants to be. He's become more violent when he collects taxes. He's using more strong-arm tactics. He's becoming more rough. He's drinking more. He's partying more. He hangs out. He doesn't hang out with any Jewish people anymore because he's unclean. He's been kicked out of the synagogue. So he begins to hang out with tax collectors, other tax collectors that he knows. He begins to hang out with prostitutes. He begins to hang out more and more with Roman soldiers. If you asked him, did he believe in God, he would say yes. Do you believe in Yahweh? He would say yes. But if you asked him, do you love God, he would say, why should I? Why should I? God doesn't love me anymore. Why should I love him? If you asked him what his great love was, he would say money. He had gotten great at collecting money. He had outbid all the other tax collectors in the region. He had got all the Roman contracts, and he had become the chief tax collector for the district of Jericho and the province of Judea. And by the time he was 40 years old, he was the richest Jewish man in all of Jericho. And he began to flaunt his money. He built a fine home, a Roman-style villa. 20 rooms, had a colonnaded courtyard. In the center of the courtyard was a fountain and a pool. And he built a fine wine cellar, a well-stocked wine cellar. He appreciated that Italian wine that those Roman soldiers would tell him about, imported all the way from Italy. Zach the Bull began to throw lavish parties at his fine home. And the Jews in Jericho, they were never invited. They wouldn't go anyway because he's unclean. They were not guests. So the great sinners in town were always his guests. The other tax collectors, the prostitutes, and Roman soldiers. In the year A.D. 30, Zacchaeus was 50 years old now. In the 17th year of the reign of the Emperor Tiberius, Zacchaeus had a party, and Zacchaeus could party all night till the sun comes up. So he was always the last one to close down the party. Everybody was leaving. There was one Roman soldier left named Maximus. Maximus could hang with Zacchaeus, you know. They were both sitting around. They were well lit, sitting around talking while the sun's about to come up. And Zacchaeus says, Maximus, says, in all your world travels as a Roman soldier, he said, tell me the craziest things that you've seen. And old Maximus didn't disappoint. He told some bawdy stories about the time he was stationed in Corinth. And Zacchaeus would laugh, and Maximus would laugh, and all of a sudden a serious look came upon Maximus' face. He said, that's not the craziest thing I've ever seen. He said, the craziest thing I've ever seen happened to me at the end of last year. He said, I was stationed in Capernaum, and I was working for this Roman centurion. He was my captain. And this centurion that I worked for, he didn't have any children. So he picked out one of his slaves, a young boy, and he made that slave his heir. So this slave became almost like his son, and he loved that slave, called him son. He loved his son. One day that boy got sick, got real sick. And I've seen children that age die. You know, you've seen children die. We don't have any health care. He was close to death. He had that deep rasp. He barely moved. He was pale. He was on death's doorstep. He was dying. In fact, some people in the centurion's house, they were even preparing for the funeral. They didn't let the centurion see it, but the boy was about to die. But that centurion, he was stubborn, and he loved that boy. And see, what had happened was he had gone out to Capernaum. There was this miracle worker that would come to town from time to time, and he would gather crowds all around him, so the centurion and other soldiers would have to go and make sure the peace was kept with these big crowds. And he said he's going to go find that miracle worker. What was his name? Jesus from Nazareth, that was his name. So he said, he comes to Capernaum from time to time. I'm going to go find him and see if he can do something for my sick son, my sick slave who's laying here dying. So he ordered me and another soldier to go with him, and we scoured all over Capernaum looking for this miracle worker, and it just happened to be that he was there in town. And I've never seen a Roman centurion do this before. It was undignified, and I hope I never see a Roman centurion do this again. But when he found this Jesus of Nazareth, that was his name, he ran up to him and he fell down on his knees, undignified. And he began to beg that Jesus to come and heal his son, his slave. And that Jesus said, all right, I'll go with you, let's go. And when he stood up, something came over the centurion, and he said, no. He said, I don't want you to go to my house with me. He said, I'm a Gentile and I'm not kosher and I'm unclean, and I know how you Jewish people are, and I don't want to insult you. But he said, I do know something about authority. I do know something about telling people what to do. See Maximus there, my soldier that serves under me. I could tell him to go do this and he would do it. I could tell him to go over there and he would do it. So I know something about authority. And he said, I believe you have that type of authority. So if you would just say the word, I believe my son, my slave, would be healed. And Jesus, he smiled and said, oh, you got great faith. Be it done unto you as you've said. I didn't even think the boy would be alive when we got back home. I thought he would be dead while we were looking for Jesus. But we left, and we arrived back at the centurion's home. That boy was outside, and he was playing, and he ran to the table, and he was eating, and his color had come back, and it looked like he had put on some weight. It looked like he had never been sick. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. That boy was as good as dead. There he was, alive. Well, the centurion I worked for, he wanted to go back and thank this Jesus, so he took me and another soldier, and we went back to where he was staying. By that time, word had gotten out, and people were gathering around the house, and the house was packed. So there we were. We were coming to thank him, but now we got to work to make sure this crowd doesn't get out of hand. So we were watching people come forward, and Jesus from Nazareth, he was praying for them. We saw people getting healed. I saw this blind man. He was led forward. He had these scales on his eyes. His eyes were all deformed. Jesus touched him, and that blind man was healed. I saw it. He said, I don't believe it, and I don't know what was going on, but I saw it. That was the craziest thing I've ever seen. Zacchaeus thought about that. What'd you say his name was again? Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. Number four. The climber told to come down. The climber told to come down. 6 months later, Zacchaeus has had another party. He's awakened with a loud noise, commotion going on in the streets. He's hungover and he walks, stumbles outside, and everybody's out in the streets in town. He's like, what in the world is going on? One of the people is walking by, says, haven't you heard the miracle worker, Jesus of Nazareth is coming to Jericho. He's coming through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus of Nazareth, clearing his head. Hey, that's that miracle worker Maximus told me about. Well, I'd like to see a miracle worker to see what's so special about him. So he got dressed and went out, and he was going to get on the street to Zacchaeus was to see this miracle worker, but it was too late. The place was packed. was like a parade. Both sides of the street were just packed. And he was short, you know, couldn't see. What was he going to do? And he looked over, and this 50-year-old man, he saw a sycamore fig tree. All of a sudden, that memory from his youth come back to him when he used to climb those date trees. Well, if I can climb a date tree, which are hard to climb, well, surely I can climb this sycamore fig tree. This would be easy. See if it comes back to me, like riding a bicycle. And sure enough, he could still climb those trees. He shimmied right up that tree. And he started looking over the crowd, and here he comes. He saw Jesus with the disciples around him and people shouting. And he saw him, but it didn't look like much to him, just a regular Jewish man. This is what the fuss is all about. Then all of a sudden he saw Simon the Pharisee, the president of the synagogue, coming forward in the middle of the street. He sees him about once a year when he collects taxes from him, but that's the only time he sees him anymore. He likes collecting taxes from him, but he really doesn't like to see him. And there he is again in the middle of the street. And Simon stops the procession, and he makes a big speech, and he invites Jesus to his home for a meal, and we're going to have a kosher meal. My house is the most kosher house in all of Jericho, and you're invited to the president of the synagogue's home. But Jesus looked right past old Simon, and he looked up in that sycamore tree. And he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus, and he called him by name. How did he know his name? Zacchaeus, you come down, because I'm going to your house today. It kind of took him off guard. Hey, climber. Why don't you come down out of that tree? You're not supposed to be climbing up trees. You're supposed to be sitting down at the table with me. And Simon and the other Pharisees and the other good Jewish folks in town got upset. What do you mean? You're going to the house of a great sinner? That's the greatest sinner in town. He's been excommunicated from the synagogue. So Zacchaeus come down, and he kind of liked this for no other reason than it was making old Simon mad. Oh, sure, you can come to my house. So Zacchaeus put on a great feast that evening, and he invited his crowd because that's the only people he knew in town. You got to have people come to your party. So he invited the tax collectors and the prostitutes and a few Roman soldiers. And there's Jesus with his disciples, you know, Peter and James and John, those good Jewish boys, feeling uncomfortable. Don't touch anything. Do not touch anything in the house. But Jesus goes. Now, Jesus has this former tax collector who's a disciple of his now named Matthias. We call him Matthew. And Zacchaeus looks at Matthias and said, do I know you? Have I seen you before? And Matthew, yeah, we know each other. Oh, yeah, you were at the tax collector's convention a couple years ago. Yeah, that was me. I remember you there. So they're starting. Zacchaeus goes, he's got a tax collector? This guy used to be as wild as me. He's got him as one of his disciples? This is crazy. They didn't say much. Jesus didn't talk too much. Zacchaeus just realized that he felt really comfortable being around the table with Jesus. When all of a sudden, something happened inside Zacchaeus' heart, inside of his mind, inside of his soul. He doesn't know why it happened, but it began to happen. Zacchaeus' love for God, which had been lying dormant for 25 years, all of a sudden a spark was there. Just from sitting around the table with Jesus, his love for God began to return. And Zacchaeus, without any prompting, all of a sudden stood up and made an announcement, made a rap on his wine glass, ding, 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 everybody, I'd like to have your attention. From this day forward, I'm going to give half of my wealth away to the poor in Jericho. And if I have defrauded anybody, what do you mean if? You definitely have. And if I have defrauded anyone, I will immediately make a fourfold restitution. And Jesus smiled again, and he said, today, salvation has come to this house. And yes, salvation had come to that house because salvation is a person. Salvation is Jesus. How did salvation come to that house? In the radical hospitality of Jesus, that's when salvation comes. For this man too is a son of Abraham. He's been declared unclean. He has been rejected for 25 years by the morally pure. But Jesus said, I accept him and I sit down at the table with him. And so that's when salvation comes. And Zacchaeus was good to his word. There was no better friend to the poor in Jericho that anyone had ever knew. Because Zacchaeus knew that salvation had come to his house. And I think that's a good story. I want you to live for Jesus this week. You got your Living for Jesus papers? Sit with Jesus. Think about Zacchaeus and his time with Jesus and answer these questions. What things from your life have stolen your purity and innocence? You were born pure and innocent, something came along and stole it. What was it? Sit with Jesus and talk with this. Sit around the table and talk with Jesus about this week. Number two, what ways have you been a climber? What ways have you been willing to step on somebody's neck to get where you want to be, like Zacchaeus? Number three, will you answer Jesus' call to come down and stop climbing? Stop being the climber and sit down at the table with Jesus. And number four, do you believe salvation has come to your house? And what changes will you make considering this great salvation? Fall into the story. Sit at the table with Jesus and Zacchaeus and let them speak to you this week. Let's pray. Father, this morning we come down. We stop climbing this morning. Climbing to get ahead. Someone's hurt us. Someone's stole our innocence. Life stole our innocence. We allowed it to happen. We freely participated in it being stolen. We get to places we don't need to be. We get to be climbers. But today we come down. Come down. Come down, for I'm going to your house today. So we come down in Jesus' name. And in our mind's eye this morning by faith, we sit around the table with Jesus, and we believe as we sit around the table with you, salvation comes. Because salvation is a person. So Jesus, meet with your people right now. By grace, by faith, meet with your people right now. Sit down at the table. Lord, forgive me, help me of that thing that stole my innocence, stole my purity. It hurt me, and then I just wallowed in it and went with it. That relationship, that attitude, that habit, that whatever it was, forgive me. I sat down at the table with you. Help me, forgive me. Forgive me that I've always been good at climbing and stepping over. Forgive me, oh God. But now let salvation come to me. I receive your salvation. I receive your salvation. And Lord, by your Holy Spirit, would you tell me what I need to do now? Not to earn the salvation, but because the salvation has come to my house, what do I need to do now? To forgive, to give, to love, to give up something, to pray, to serve, whatever it is, Father. Because of your great salvation. I will do this and I'll be as good as my word because of your great salvation. Thank you, Lord. 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 Who am I? I was a climber. Someone who gave my innocence and purity away. Someone who had it stolen away. But who am I now? I am yours. If you're able, would you stand with us and let's sing unto the Lord.
Because of what you've done, not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. I am yours.
Somebody wants prayer. If that's you today, you want prayer, would you come and I'll pray with you this morning before we're dismissed. Would you come quickly? Let me pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Sing one more time. Come if you need prayer. Thank you, Jesus.
I am yours.
Lord, for that person here today, it feels like they're hurting, excommunicated, pushed aside. I pray that you would see them, call them by name, invite them into your presence and sit down at the table with them. Let them know they're cared for and loved and received by you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for our time together. Now, Lord, just bless your people. Just make your face shine upon every person here. Be gracious to every person here. And give every person here peace. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.